All right, I know Bob already prayed this morning, but had a special prayer request from Betty about her sister Paula. So you got the mic, so would you like to pray for her sister who's got pneumonia?
Sure.
Yeah, another sister in emergency yesterday, and they've kept her, and they're giving her treatment.
One just got out of pneumonia.
Which sister is that, Betty?
Paula.
Paula.
And Jennifer just got out of the hospital, and now she's in rehab.
All right.
We got two of them.
All right.
Father, I just thank you for this class, Lord, and I thank you for Brian, and I thank you for the teaching you've prepared through him, and Lord, I just pray that we all get something from this class today, and you'll really speak through Brian.
Yes.
And I also pray for Paula. I pray that you will just heal her, Lord, and I just pray that for the time she's in the hospital, you'll just use it for your good, Lord, and I just pray that she'll be healed head to toe, and there'll be no problems. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Outstanding. Thanks, Matt. Well, Matt's got that good announcer voice, doesn't he? Like his grandpa.
I wonder where he.
Gosh. All right. So everybody excited, pumped up. We got a little bit thinner crowd this week. They probably heard what my title was going to be. They're like, I don't want to go there. So today, we're going through the desert.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. You know, I love Sugar Ray Silva. And God always gives him
sweet Sugar Ray.
And he always gets to teach on prosperity and the blessings, this and that, because God gives it to him. And you know, it's always... What's that?
You needed it more.
You needed it more, yeah. But it's like... Yeah, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? What do you want me to teach on, Lord? Prosperity, blessings, you know, love, joy, all this good stuff. Going through the desert. So, what? Because whatever you teach on is what you end up going through. Amen? That's why I wanted prosperity so bad, you know? Yeah. So, I actually...
talking about prosperity, you can mix the two together. Prosperity and desert, you can ride your Corvette through the desert.
First of all, that's not my Corvette, it's Christie's. So, yeah, I got to get permission. But, so God gives me the title, and I get nervous. I'm like, oh, no, Donna, no, no. And lo and behold, yes, I went through a desert season after he gave me the title.
Good.
But you know what? We all go through the desert, amen? If Jesus went through the... Tom? Cool. All right. So, going through the desert. Here we go.
You can do it on a television. It's only a two-clicker remote, but you can't figure it out.
Okay. Well, I, you know, from now on, instead of praying and asking God, just lead me, you know, for teaching, I'm just going to click on a Matthew West CD because the last four teachings has been... God has brought a song from him to my heart that goes along with the teaching. And Christy and I seen him with Jeremy Camp, with Kenny, last spring?
Yeah.
And just outstanding. He was a pastor's son. And he wrote this song called Motions, Going Through the Motions. And at the concert, he said he was a struggling Christian artist, because he's been around a while, I don't know if you know that. But he's only been really popular the last, you know, couple of years. And he said one day he just broke down before the Lord, you know, that he just felt like he was banging his head against the wall and just kind of like just going through the motions, not really giving it his all, you know, like he was just constantly in a desert. But this is what Matthew said about this song. He says, I don't always feel it. Sometimes my faith seems stale, numb. Sometimes I pray, but I don't feel connected. I sing, but my songs sound empty. I write, but my words sound cliche. I ask God questions, but I don't hear answers. Anybody been there? I could try to act like I'm always so spiritually refreshed and thriving in my relationship with God. And I know people like that. It's like, oh, you know, everything's good. And, no, everything's not always good. Amen? But that wouldn't be honest. That wouldn't be me. This is all from Matthew West here. Does your faith journey ever have these desert seasons? I think one of the greatest challenges in actively living out a relationship with Christ on earth is to avoid the trap of simply going through the motions. I know what a, quote, Christian should say. I know how a Christian should act. I know how to put up a spiritual front, even if I'm not passionately seeking God. And haven't we done it before? Fake it till you make it, right? He goes on to say, that's why I wrote this song. I was frustrated and tired of that constant selling for a stale faith. God has got a passion. His true plan for our lives is anything but boring. If you're bored, it ain't God. It ain't God. It's you. Get moving. That's my quote. Sorry. Every day, the God of adventure beckons his sons and daughters to quit going through the motions and walk into a life filled with passion and wonder. The last line of the chorus strikes me every time I sing it. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? My surgery, it was a major surgery, and silence really brought this song to life for me. Trials force movement. Pain makes you feel. I'm thankful for the difficult time I had to go through because God used it to remind me that going through the motions is not really living. And he talked about that at the concert. And one of the things he doesn't say in here that he said at the concert, he never had a hit song until that one. And then as soon as he wrote that one, he said at least a dozen number one Christian songs. So I'm going to play that song.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. No regrets, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life. Instead of going through the motions.
What a powerful song, amen? I'll give you a little quick highlight. When he wrote that song, it was the first hit song for him. And since then, he's become like one of the top Christian artists in the world. But he had to go through a dry season to get there. So, kind of looks like my granddaughter right there. You see her in a bow. You put some sunglasses on her right there in the back. That looks just like her. We all go through the desert at various times in our walk with God. Is there anybody in here that's been serving God that hasn't gone through a desert season? Even Jesus had to go through the desert. It says, the temptation of Christ is detailed in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. According to these texts, after being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights in the Judean desert. During this time, Satan appeared to Jesus and tried to tempt him. I'm going to go back. That's the Judean desert right there that Jesus went through. I don't want to go through something like that. I've been to the Grand Canyon. That looks pretty bad, but kind of reminds me of that. So that's the actual desert that he gave you a visual of what he went through. Fact, you are not alone in the desert. Hebrews 13:5b says this, for he, God, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us even in the desert. Amen? Even when we're going through the motions, even when we don't feel his presence, even when our prayers are dry, we don't feel like praying, we don't feel like going to church, we don't feel like that. You know what? We got to get over our feelings, amen? There's a lot of times I don't feel like doing nothing but laying in that lazy boy. It puts you right to sleep, Tyler, every time. All right, I got to pick on one of the youths. All right, Kenny. Oh, Anaya's here. All right, Anaya, fill in the blank. Here we go. Come on. I know you know this. We walk by blank and not by sight. We walk by... What? Did you... What? You didn't say it? Think about it. We walk by... Did you say faith? She's right. Give her a hand, folks. Faith, but not by sight. Amen, right? We don't walk by our feelings, right? Because our feelings, man, they're like hot and cold. And I'll tell you what, my anger's been rising up this week, and it hasn't been righteous anger. It's that old man anger. You know what I'm talking about? You know, somebody cut you off in traffic or whatever, and you're like, rah! Like, that's real Christian of you, Brian. You know. You just got out of church, somebody cut you off, and you want to raise that hand. JC said it best. No, not that JC. Jeremy Camp, who was also at the concert. When he wrote this song, he had just lost his wife to cancer. And went through a battle. And I love Jeremy Camp. His songs, you know, it's just so heartfelt. Let's hear it. Would I believe you when you'd say, your hand will guide me every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment of every day? Well, I will walk by faith even when I cannot see. Well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. And that broken road, you know, when he lost his wife to cancer, and he was shattered. A young guy, like younger than Tyler. You know, like early 20s, mid-20s. And here he was, a worship leader at his church, but God had a calling for him to, you know, again, a gifting to be a Christian artist. But here he says it, this broken road prepares your will for me, you know. Don, I know you've suffered a lot. That broken road is preparing, you know, God's will for you. Amen. The desert does. It prepares the way for God's will. Even Jesus had to go through the desert before he started his ministry. You know, just imagine for a second how hard that was for him. You know, not only is he going through that desert that we showed you, he ain't eating nothing either for 40 days. And I get cranky after one day of fasting. I could imagine 40 days, Bernie. I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine it. I don't want to, you know, I think the most I've ever done is a 40-hour fast, and I was like, oh, Lord, I'm dying. How many of us, if we did not have a trial or desert experience, would be here today? Raise your hand. Right? So we had such perfect lives before, amen? No. You know, it's when I went through a desert, when my health was at its worst, oh, Lord, I need you. He's like, now you need me? You know? Isn't that how it goes, though? Let's call God when we're, and we should call God. And he's ready. He wants to welcome us, you know? So we do. Even though the trials are tough, Esther, they're tough, you know? But guess what? It produces character, you know, as it says in James, perseverance. It molds you, it shapes you into the person you are. I thank God for trials, but if I must be really honest, I don't like going through them. Kenny, you like going through trials? Well, he might. He's tough. You know, I don't want to go through any. But yeah, here we go. And James, yes. Hold on. We got the microphone.
Yeah, one of the things I was talking with Ed yesterday about is trials. And one of the things is that you remember is that God has a vision. And, you know, my question, like Jesus, is why me? Why is it that I still encounter these situations? And my answer, you know, in explaining that to Ed, is for everybody else that's gonna. That you come out on the other side better, closer to Christ than you ever have. You know, that there's a joy set before you. That in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm, you're focused on that. And I got to tell my wife, I said, are you focusing on what is true? What is trustworthy? You know, and that's what you focus on during the trial. What is true? What's trustworthy? Who is faithful in the midst of that? Not everything that hasn't happened or is not, you know. And it's so much better. I says, if not me, who? Who's going to turn around and lead that way for the younger generation, for those around you, for my kids, you know, for Ed, you know, when you go through stuff? Because it's not if you're going to go through stuff. It's when. You're going to go through something. You know, and you want to be encouraged in that. And if it has to be me, you know, to lead that way, to be in that path, to be transparent and say, hey, here's where I'm at, but here's where I'm going, then so be it. You know, it's a season. It's going from one mission to the next mission to the next mission. I told Ed, I said, at this point, my mission is there's somebody at my company that God wants to turn on and move upon. If that means that he has to turn and uproot me from one company to go to another to do that, then you're going to take all those feelings of whatever's going to happen because you don't have a plan made out. You're trusting God, and you're going to be obedient to that, and you're going to go minister to these people down at this company, and you're going to bring God to that field, and I'm excited about that.
Amen. How many missed Kenny O'Rourke? I missed him, honestly. And you know what? That's his son. Because the old man Kenny's gone. I like the new Kenny with the clean-shaven face. Now he looks younger to me. But honestly, Kenny, if a lot of you don't know, he was going through a desert, and his desert was work. And it had him consumed, and it was eating him up. And so I thank God that we had that praise report this morning that he got a new job, and God is good, and we're happy to have you back. And, you know, Kenny was, you know, discipled me and Ed when we were just young pups. And now we're old dogs, right? All right, back to this. The desert will test your faith. You will not always feel God's presence. You will feel dry at times. You will experience times of going through the motions. It's during these times that we must learn to trust God. He knows what he's doing. Tyler, he knows what he's doing in a dry season even. Even we're like, we're questioning God. What are you doing? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, he's saying. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I like this version because it really, the Amplified really gets into it. Don't cry, honey. My grandbaby.
She's going through a trial.
She's all right. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Don't rely on what's going on up here. Rely on what the Word of God says. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And he will make your paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. A lot of obstacles in that desert, amen? Tons of obstacles. But guess what? In the middle of that desert, there's an oasis, right?
We need to be careful. One of the first things when we're talking about a desert experience is make sure it is a desert experience. We're so easily blame our own faults on Satan if we do something. Say, well, Satan made me do it. Blame
right.
everything on Satan. Not everything we go through is a desert experience. Kim, you ever had a bad day? That's not a desert experience, so is it? No. Sometimes we, you know, I spilt my coffee this morning. I had a bad day at work. I had a flat tire on the way home. Maybe you spilt your coffee because you're clumsy. Maybe you just have a bad job. Maybe you needed some new tires. Don't always blame something as a desert experience. Desert experience, you will know it's a desert experience. And believe me, that is a totally different than having a bad day, a bad week. We all have those, right? There's times that we don't feel God's presence, but it doesn't mean we're in a desert.
Right.
Two, every time we do something good, does somebody come and say, oh, great job, keep that up, do that? No. Same way with God. Usually, like parents, he only says something when we're doing something wrong. Do you go every minute and tell your kids, you're so great, right? Usually we only talk to them when they've done something wrong, and God is the same way. Sometimes when he doesn't say anything, he's telling us we're on the right path. We're doing the right thing, right? Just keep on keeping on.
You know, Bob made an excellent point. I always remember give him a hand, folks. No, don't. Don't encourage him. I always remember when Bob, you remind me, Ed Trout always says this, and it's so true. It rains on the just and the unjust. Okay? Back in December, perfect time, Bernie, to put $700 into my wife's car. I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, you know, cars need maintenance, this and that. It's not a desert, like Bob said. It's just, hey. We sold it the next month, and I'm like, dang, I wish I would have sold it the month before. And God's like, well, that wasn't time, and, you know. Save me $700. All right. Pennies, Trains, and Automobiles. Steve Martin, if you've ever seen this movie, he had to trust John Candy to get him home safely. It's a hilarious movie. I recommend watching it. PG, though. Well, today we got pilots, conductors, and Ubers. So if we could trust these folks, you hop in an Uber or a plane or a train today, if we could trust these folks to get us there safely without even thinking about it, right? Do you think about it when you're on a plane? Oh, I do. I say the sinner's prayer every time I fly. I'm just, I get nervous when the turbulence, but really, we don't really even think about it. Even Ubers, that's scary. But how much more should we trust our Heavenly Father to navigate us through the desert, right? Sharon.
You know, trusting in the Father is one of the things that got Jesus through it. Now, I've heard people say, well, he was God. He didn't go through it. We go through it. No, he had to, in his flesh,
yes.
He had to go through everything. Everyone was going to have to go through and overcome it. But he had something going for him. He made sure he knew the word, and he confidently trusted that whatever he was going to go through, that the Father was going to bring him through it, and that he loved him. And that's key. You have to understand the Father's love for you, and you have to know the word.
Amen.
Even if you can't remember it, that's what the Holy Spirit's for.
Yeah. Amen.
To
Good
remind
point.
You.
Good point. I like this picture. So what do you see? You see a storm? What does anybody else see?
Tornado.
Right? You know what I see? Blue skies ahead because the storm's behind you. Think about it. When you go through that desert, man, you know, Dwayne said it. You come through a desert season, man, there's usually a blessing at the end. Amen? There's a reason. I just really like that picture. There's a little commentary. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her in the desert and speak tenderly to her. You know, God leads us into the desert, right? He led Jesus to the desert, right? Okay. If you have an important message to convey to someone, what is the best means of getting the message through? Have you ever tried to talk to someone who was so busy You cannot get him to hear you. Too busy texting or on Facebook, probably. Distractions prevent us from giving our undivided attention to the messenger. So too, God has his way of taking us aside to get our undivided attention. For Paul, it was Arabia for 3 years. For Moses, it was 40 years in the desert. Yow. For Joseph, it was 13 years in Egypt. For David, it was many years of fleeing from King Saul. God knows the stubborn human heart. He knows that if he is to accomplish his deepest work, he must take us into the desert in order to give us the privilege, that's a privilege, to be used in his kingdom. In the desert, God changes us and removes things that hinder us. He forces us to draw deep upon his grace. The desert is only a season in our life, remember that. When he has accomplished what he wants in our lives in the desert, he will bring us out. He's given us a mission to fulfill that can only be fulfilled after we've spent adequate time in preparation in the desert. Fear not the desert, for it is here you will hear God's voice like never before. It is here you'll become his bride. It is here you'll have the idols of your life removed. It is here you begin to experience the reality of a living God like never before. Someone once said, God uses enlarged trials to produce enlarged saints so he can put them in enlarged places. I like that. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Amen. He ain't going to leave you hanging out to dry, Joe. I might. He ain't. Ryan, all right.
Ryan, one comment on that last part there.
Pretty cool.
The times you had up there, 40 years, 13 years,
yeah.
3 years. Close to half of David's life, he was going through a trial. When we go through a trial, the first thing we're looking for is the end of that trial. Are we looking to learn something? No, I just want to get out of this, right? We're not looking in the rearview mirror. We're looking in front for the sunlight, which is not good because sometimes God will bring you out of a trial. But if you haven't learned anything, you're going to go right back into that same desert. Anybody ever been through the same trial or the same desert more than once? God has not got his message across. Don't be in a hurry to get out. Be in a hurry to learn something while you're there so you won't have to go back through it again.
Amen. All right, let's lighten it up a little. It's Uncle Rico time.
I don't know if that'll lighten
Where's it Pastor up? Don? He loves Uncle Rico. All right, so actually, I thought I was scot-free this week. I thought my teaching got pushed back, so I was just all great. And I said to Ricardo, are you ready for next week? He goes, you're up next week. I go, what? I said, well, brother, can you help a brother out? He says, I'd be glad to. So Rico's going to share about his desert experience. And take it away.
I don't know if I'll quite lighten it up. In late 2011, I started the beginning of a desert experience. And it literally lasted for almost, the desert experience started then, and then 3 years later, that's how long it lasted for me. I was scheduled to deploy to Afghanistan, and literally the desert. I would have never thought, looking back, that I would experience the desert at the desert, the beginning of my desert. So I go to Afghanistan. And I'm thinking, mind you guys, I'm in the Air Force. The Air Force never really goes right where the battle line is. We're usually far and safe enough away so the planes come and land and we take care of them. So we're never literally in the war zone. When I stepped foot off that plane, not only was it 110 or 115 humidity and 110 degrees in the morning, but as soon as we got there, I was already hearing bullets hit the plane. Never have I experienced that ever in my life. I immediately started praying, and it was scary. I already had the 3 kids at that time. Nellie was a baby, and that's all I could think about. And every day that I was there, I'm not even kidding, we were attacked every day. Every day, like, it was... I was always wondering if it was going to be next door or if it was going to be a couple of bunks down or if it was going to hit me, you know, hit us. It got to the point where I'm having dreams and nightmares. You know, it's like I'm getting terrorized, you know. It's like the, you know, I was getting a lot of fear in me and everything, and it made it very hard to concentrate on my work, and because all I could think about was what I would be leaving behind. Then one day I got up early in the morning, and we're waiting for our ride because we couldn't, like, where we worked at was far away, and it was actually safer to be at work than where I slept. Because where I worked at, it was actually a bunker, you know, and where I slept at was basically the back of a semi truck. So we're waiting, and we're basically on the road, and there's a big concrete barrier wall. It's about maybe 12 to 15 feet high, something like that. And all of a sudden, we look up. I was talking to some of the guys that were about to get ready to go to work, and we look up, and there's a rocket coming right at us. And all we could do, I mean, the first reaction is we jump out of the way, try to jump out of the way. It literally hit the other side of the wall, thank God. But, you know, rocks rained down all on us. And, I mean, I had earwax coming out of my ears and phlegm coming out of my nose. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of vibrations and noise, like my ears were ringing and everything. And the first thing that came in my mind then was, I'm going to make my kids fatherless. I'm not going to be able to be there for nothing that they experience in life. I'm not going to be able to guide them, you know, and help them out and everything. I'm not going to be there for them. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to go. I want to be able to leave a good impact on my family before I leave. And so, you know, that all happened. We figure out we're okay. You know, nobody got hurt or anything. Thank God for that wall there. But it didn't stop there. I mean, there was times where we were waking up because our doors would blow open from the pressure of a rocket hitting or a bomb hitting where we were at. And it would literally wake us up, 2 a.m, wake us up, you know. I mean, over there, sleep was, I mean, you got 2 hours of straight sleep. It was a treasure. So it was very hard. I was always sleeping light, and it's crazy. Like, sometimes you'd fall asleep when you're waiting for the planes to come back while we're on duty. I would fall asleep sometimes on concrete pads, you know, because I couldn't sleep at night. So I'd go under a plane and while we're waiting for another plane to come back and just take a quick nap and literally fall asleep on concrete, hot concrete. But in this time, you know, the whole time I felt like God was, you know, making me go through this because I had to experience this. I was very self-absorbed at that time. I wanted a career in the Air Force. I wanted to be something big in the Air Force. I was on my way and everything. I was ranking up really fast and everything. And I always seemed to have valued my career and things that I wanted before everything else. And I think that I had to go through that to realize that it's not only about me. You know, it's more than that. You know, and my priorities were off. And that, I think that I had to go through that experience to realize the value of my family, the value of God, and the life that He's given me. So in going through that experience, you know, I think that was a big spark for me that caused me to start this process of changing. Now, when I got home, the desert didn't stop. I had to go through a lot of relearning, a lot of retraining my mind, retraining everything. Like, I was so stuck and still stuck in that desert. So it was like Brian said, going through the motions. I felt like I was always going through the motions. You know, I felt like, you know, I was numb to everything else. And it caused a lot of issues. It caused a lot of marital issues in my previous marriage. I wasn't there like I should have been. And it definitely was very hard adjusting. But over time, you know, a lot of prayer and basically a lot of me spending time in the desert. And, you know, honestly, I prayed and I never heard. And at times it was discouraging looking back then, but I needed it because it helped me to realize that I wasn't as close to God as I thought I was.
Amen.
You know, and so, you know, 3 years later after I deploy, it gets to the point where I'm totally broken and it took me to be totally broken to realize that I needed to put God first, you know. And when I did, it seemed like I started hearing from God more, and I started, you know, feeling his presence, and I started feeling convictions and things to tell me, like little hints to tell me, you know, you need to go this way instead of that way. You need to turn, you need to fix what you're doing, Ricardo. You're going through the same thing. You did this last time. You did this last week. You did this yesterday. What are you doing? You know, and then I realized, and it's crazy because you think back then I feared God more so than I wanted to please him or love him. And I realized, you know, how the Holy Spirit treated me, that he's way more gentle than we realize. He's way more loving than we could ever even think of or imagine or even see, you know, or fathom. And it's amazing the grace that he has for us. It's amazing that you could do the worst thing ever in your eyes and still he thinks it's nothing compared to the plans he has for you. So I want to encourage everyone and say, no, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what we've gone through. There's a reason for it. And I think that's what that's talking about there is, because of those reasons, because of those things I went through, I have been able to talk to some people. I have been able to encourage people. And it also has shown me the love that God has given me that I can reverberate back to my family, to friends, to other people. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you close us out?
Thank you, Father, for today. Father, thank you for the wonderful breakfast. Thank you for the fellowship today, Father, and the word today from Brian, Lord. And Father, thank you for the deserts, Father, even when we don't really understand them or feel like they're not something to be thankful for. Thank you for them, Father. I pray that we take those times and really reflect back and really think about it and ponder on it so that way we can see what we could fix or what maybe we could learn from it. And Father, I just pray that we continue to work on this and apply it in our lives, Father, and that we never forget that you are the reason for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come back next week. We will get through the desert. I promise. Yeah.